music director tell me, he said, if the choir can't sing it like it was meant to be, then they shouldn't sing it. But you sang it like it meant to be. So thank you for doing that. That is such a great reminder of how God has blessed us. So thank you so much. Well, we are into our sixth part of this series that we're looking at some of the great characters of God's Word. And we are mostly looking at some of the Old Testament pieces. There are such great promises that point. Remember that? That's all about how the old points to the new. And Joseph, this character that we are going to look at today, I selected to put on Father's Day partly because he had a lot of setbacks. From the pit that his jealous brothers dumped him in to the prison that he ended up in because he was wrongly accused, if you remember Potiphar's wife, you remember that he was accused and placed in positions that were not of his own doing. He just happened to be doing his job, right? He was doing what he was called to do, and then as he tried to escape from Potiphar's wife, he ended up in prison, of all places. But God used each and every situation, and that is why I want to have that focus today. I have a short video that I wanted to share with you today to lead into Father's Day, because fathers have a place. I feel that, especially this year, having my dad pass in the last 6 months from this life, and I understand that, and I'm still working on that. I want to say that. There's something missing. And I know that that is important to be able to note that, but we also want to note that fathers have a place in this world. And this little video, just humor me this morning as you hear it, and hopefully there's something, a gem, that you will see in it. So let's go ahead and play that before we go into the message. Well, I hope you appreciated that for what he was prepared for. I think that all dads, we need to pray for, but we need to acknowledge it as a gift to this life. So that leads us into today's message, when others cause a setback. Now, I'll share mine is that, it's really a confession, there was a time when Josh was young. He was an infant, maybe one and a half. I can't quite remember exact age, but I was watching him, we were playing, and of course he gets the big, you all know this, the big knot on the forehead, and mom's coming home, right? And the problem for me on this date was that it was December, which means, you know what December means for pictures and for, and it was scheduled for, the next day? So, and comes home with a big, light bulb right here on the forehead. And the response is, couldn't you have watched him better? Right? Right? That's always the mom has a way of just getting right to the point. Well, there's a picture for you. So I asked my husband how everything was going, and he sends me the picture like this. Aren't these pictures great? You've seen them on the internet. You see it. It's kind of fun. And you wonder, what was happening in this picture? Why is his hand on the driving wheel? Hopefully that was a good selfie there. So then dads do thing like this where we think, you know, that's a great idea. Great idea from the beginning, but not really a good idea if somebody's watching, right? So having dad take you out on the surfboard like that at a young age. So hopefully they all got in safely. But Jacob had sons. And according to Acts chapter 7, and that's why I wanted to use this passage from the New Testament to reflect on what all of the believers were talking about at the time. This is what had been the conversation. Jacob had sons, according to Luke, as the story goes. Actually, he is giving a message. And the message is, let's think about our heritage here in Acts chapter 7. Let's remember what has happened. Jacob's sons become jealous of their brother Joseph, and they sold him to be a slave. This is when Acts chapter 7. And he goes on to say, and we saw the passage that was read today, God was with him. If there's nothing else that you take from the message today, just put that down. God was with him. God is with us. That's that promise. That's why Peter's talking about it. God was with him and rescued him from all of his troubles. And God gave him favor before the Pharaoh, Potiphar's the caretaker, the captain of the guard, according to the text, and the king of Egypt. And then God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom, so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace, the palazzo, so to speak. This great thing that would be there. Joseph was, according to the text, if you read Genesis 38 through 50, you'll hear the story of how Joseph was successful, but he had a lot of setbacks. He had a lot of things that happened to him that were no cause to himself. And it reminds us of simply this fact: God is always with us. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about this, and I reminded you that there is a promise in God's word that is all the way through it. I always like to remind you that the scriptures are held together with our books. I love books still. I have a Kindle, and I have books on my Kindle. Yes, can I just say it? It's not the same for me. I still have my books, and I like my books. And I like my books because they're held together by a thread. And the Bible's the best example of that thread that weaves through all of history. God is with us. And Joseph gives us that picture of the thread, that God is with us. And we'll see it unfold. I have the outline today. You can take it home. If you're bored with life in this week, read Genesis 38 through 50. It's one of the most exciting parts of Scripture, partly because Joseph succeeds when all the chips were down. Now, I have a story, too, for Father's Day on this, and it was really a moving story. I read this week about it, and now it's not quite, the picture doesn't quite correspond, but it was the best I could find with a child and a wonderful stuffed animal. Have you seen all those great stuffed animals? I think they're called Thai, they're just really creative. Well, a young lady named Samantha Powers tells a story about her dad and about at 2 years old, because that baby's not two, right? Am I right? That baby is not two. But it's a cute baby, and it's a cute stuffed animal. So at the age of two, Samantha got a stuffed animal like that one and gave it to her dad. Actually, what she did is she put it in. Now, this is only a two-year-old. She put the little stuffed animal that was hers. It was given to her. Okay, and she put it in his work bag, and she said little words, this is so you will not forget me. Wow, can you imagine that as a two-year-old? I don't know if this is a story, but she's telling the story, so I'm going to believe that. But throughout her life, then what happened to her was that 18 years later, now this is so she would be 20, right, if I'm doing the math right, she said, when I was two, I gave my dad a stuffed animal to keep in his work bag so he wouldn't miss me or think of me, and then dad got a new gym bag. And then he said he came to her. She was working on a college paper on criminology, of all things. So that makes it interesting, right? So she stopped her. She walked into her work as she was writing. And he said, I want you to put your hand in this bag. It was just a gym bag. So she reaches in, and she pulls out the stuffed animal. And of course, she's crying. It just moved her to the heart. And then, of course, she posted it on Facebook. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to tell the story today, right? She posted it and said, "Dad has had this animal for 18 years, this stuffed animal, and it is such a great story." And here's what she said on the post. She said, "18 years later, my dad has just informed me that he still brings my stuffed animal to work with him every day. And he's always been sweet like that, so that's good, good for Dad. You have good days and bad days." He said, "But if you don't have family," this is his response, Dad's response to her, "but if you don't have family, you have nothing else." Isn't that interesting? And we think of fathers, we know that there's good, there's challenging days too for those who have not had that as a gift. I know that. I have listened to stories, and I know that that's challenging, and we need to find ways through that. But I want to celebrate the gift of fatherhood, because I know it's so important. And I think this story is a reminder of that. And it reminds me of how, you know, that animal that was there for all those years, as a reminder, as he dug through his bag, he would see that and be reminded that he's a father, that he needs to remember her, because it was a gift from her to remember her. Well, we need to remember the gift that God gives to us, that he is with us. The Lord was with Joseph. We see this over and over, and I'm going to overemphasize it today only because the scriptures overemphasize. In fact, there's three different scriptures that we see in this. Now, Joseph, I love the little kid's picture, so I give them to you. I'm sorry, I'm boring your tears with some of those, but I think of how he was thrown into the pit by jealous brothers. According to Acts, it was jealous brothers, right, that was thrown into the pit. If we read the story, we know that he was thrown in not against his will. And when the slave traders arrived in Egypt, they sold Joseph to a man named Potiphar, just as was read earlier, who was one of the Pharaoh's officials and a captain of the palace guard. So he was sold away. And you remember the cover-up. Probably the cover-up is always the worst than the actual failure at the beginning. You know, then the brothers cover it up. Remember, they go to elaborate. You don't read the story. I don't have time to tell the whole story today. But there's an elaborate story how they tried to fool Dad, right? They take it home and they, "Well, yeah, you know, something happened and he was killed by, you know," great stories, right? Great cover-ups. No, not right. So we go on. "The Lord was with Joseph." This is what we read. "So he became a successful man. He lived and served in the home of the Egyptian master." My guess is on this that Joseph was gifted from the very beginning because God was with him. And the brothers knew that he was blessed with something special, so it wasn't hard for them to chuck him in the hole. You know, just, "We don't need this. We'd be better off without this, because he's gonna take advantage of all of us, so we're gonna keep him down," right? You may have felt that in your life. Maybe you've been gifted, or there was a time, maybe you had a partner, maybe there was something that was just not right, but it happened to you. It was no fault of your own. It just happened to you because something happened. And it happened to Joseph. The Lord was with him, though. The Lord was with him. We see over and over again here, Potiphar realized that the Lord was with Joseph. So I want you to notice that others notice when we are gifted. And the question is, are we aware that it's God? Because that's what we're going to see from Joseph. Joseph acknowledged who God was. The Lord was with him, making him successful in everything he did. We see those scriptures tell us this part of the story. So Potiphar was very happy with Joseph's work, and then he rose to the ranks, hired him to be his personal aide. He put Joseph in charge of everything in his home, trusting him with everything he owned. And he actually had a number of cases, situations that came up. If you remember, one of the stories is when he ended up, you know, he was in the pit and was sold, right? And then he ended up the chief of all of Potiphar's work, which was he was the chief steward of the Pharaoh. So he was right there in the midst of everything. And then he was thrown in prison after being accused by Potiphar's wife, right? We know that part of the story. And after he was thrown in prison, wrongfully accused, he had another situation where he was with the baker. Remember the baker? And he asked the baker and the other fellow who had been thrown in there. The baker actually was the wine person who is always on call to drink and eat before whatever the king does. Otherwise, if they're going to poison him, we'll see if the food's any good. Right? We all know that's part of the story. And he asked the baker, "Would you remember me?" And of course, when the baker did get released, he didn't remember Joseph. He made a promise. But Joseph didn't ever receive that. He was stuck in that prison, and other things happened to him. And we read on. That's why I'm jumping to chapter 39 here, 3-5. When God blessed everyone working in Potiphar's household because of Joseph. So Joseph was able to get others to work together. He also was noticed by all the people. He was noticed when he was working for Potiphar, who was also noticed when he was in prison. So he was in the pit. He was in the prison. I mean, all things that could go wrong went wrong, right? But he was noticed. And then the jailer, now as he's in prison, and we move to the last part of the chapter 39, noticed again, was responsible, and the Lord was with him. And he wasn't worried. The jailer did not have to worry. Isn't that interesting? He walked into the house, and he walked into the jail, and he said, you know, I can put this person in charge. He'll keep calm on this because I don't have enough people to guard all these folks that are here, and they're probably wrongfully accused. I think of despots. You probably heard some of the stories of that goes on in this world of incredible stories of where people are trying to do the right thing, and then crazy things happen. You ask the question, why does God allow that? Have you ever asked that question? Don't even shake your hand or don't raise your hand. But we all do if we're honest. Why is it allowed to happen? And the reason that it happens in this world is that it's broken, right? You've heard me say that. The world is broken, and that wrong people end up in charge of perhaps the wrong things. And so more things, evil, can go wrong. And we begin to wonder why. Now, Joseph, as we've come to know him by reading God's word, he never asked that question. He pushes through. He may have asked that question. I'm guessing if he was human, he probably did ask. But he pursued, and God watched over him. And what I believe God used these situations to do was to develop resilience. Have you heard that word? I like that word, resilience. Joseph was resilient. He got to the place, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, where the king, he's restored out of the prison, and then God blessed him. And then he was in a place, and he got restored because he was the one that could tell the dreams. Remember that? He could tell the dreams. He was gifted. We're going to see that resilience reminded him. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Now, we're going to the very end of the story, and I like to do that sometimes just to say, go back and see it for yourself. But Joseph said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? And then he said, you intended to harm me, but God, now watch this, God intended it for good. You can circle that on yours. God intended it for good. How do we know? We don't know till later. We never know. To accomplish what is now being done, saving many lives, Joseph had no idea that he would actually be in a position. Remember the part of the story when there was a great famine. Remember the story? And Jacob would send his sons, and he didn't know his son was even alive. He thought his son was dead. Remember that? And then, of course, the brothers find that Joseph now is the one holding the hand of all the food that they are going to be able to be given because Jacob, the father, had sent his sons there. Remember, there was a little bit of a story, play on the story. You can go back and read it for yourself. I don't have time to go through it all this morning, but it does remind us of how the Lord was intending it for good. There's a great story here that we find, I think, about our culture, and I am so amazed. I listen to you tell me stories about some of the great American read. I don't know if you've heard of this. National Public Radio has actually published this, and it reminded us of there's 100 different books that people are actually asked to read so that they can select one book so for everyone to be thinking about. And it kind of, there's all kinds of books. You have to go to the website. I'm not going to be able to give you them all, so I'm just going to highlight a couple of them. You have Orwell's 1984 and The Invisible Man. You see some of these, Charlotte's Web, Don Quixote. And here's some of the literary responses about what we like to read about. Here's my focus. My focus is we like stories about heroes. Reading about everyday heroes gives us hope and lets you know that you're not alone in the good fight. And you can look at the secular stories and say, oh, wait a minute. And that's why I say to you, good for you to read. And some of you are voracious readers. I'm so impressed. And I think it's great to do that because then you can connect with what people are thinking. Now, it doesn't mean we need to watch every television show out there. So don't take it to the nth degree here. What I'm saying is simply this. There is something there deep that's in our culture. If we want to connect people to the real truth of this, God's Word, we need to know what they're reading, what they're talking about. How do we relate that? And so reading can do that. There's some other books that are more contemporary ones, and people say, well, you shouldn't be reading those. No, we should be. We should. I tell students all the time, learn as much as you can about culture because that's the only way we're going to know how to relate to people. Here's my jump into the New Testament because I think there's another prisoner. Remember, Paul was in prison? He wrote letters from prison. This is one of the letters. Therefore, I, Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord. That's how we know he was in prison. He says it. I'm in prison, and I'm writing. And I beg you to lead a life worthy. You remember this scripture, perhaps, of your calling. Live a life worthy of your calling. If we're living a worthy life of your calling, we go back to the Word, we see that you've been called by God. Joseph was called by God. Now, the Old Testament, we see that God's Spirit was on certain people at certain times to do what? To remind people that God was what? With them, right? To develop that resilience. But also, it's actually one step further. Paul writes as a prisoner, and you probably ask, well, why did Paul get stuck in prison? Because he was wrongfully accused, right, of causing uproar. And he didn't see that as a problem. It actually became a jumping off point where he could use that because he got to Rome. You know, he wanted to go to Rome to share the gospel. He got to Rome, not the way he wanted to go to get a hearing. He got to go because God wanted him there in the presence and to share the possibilities as we go on in verse 2 to see. And here's Paul's message to us is to be humble and gentle, be patient with each other. Now watch this, because I think Joseph's story connects this, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Making allowances. I think of fathers that make allowances. I know as a father it's never simple or easy. But we have to learn. And if we're humble and gentle, we think about how that attribute can help us make allowances for that which we know and perhaps for what we don't know in the way that God presents it. So my encouragement this morning is just to be reminded that Paul had a message for all of us. That message was, get equipped. You may have heard that term before. But we get equipped because we're reminded of a New Testament promise. And it comes actually here as we see Joseph's life being understood. The king said to Joseph, I have a dream and no one can explain it. I've been told that you can interpret dreams. Remember, I had just told you that. And here's how he responded. He said, Joseph answered the king, I am not able to do this. What does the underline say? But God can. God can. And then he goes, says, I can't explain the meaning of the dreams, but God will do this for the king. God had told him, I will give you the gift. I will give it. And it'll be, what did Joseph know? Joseph knew it wasn't about him. It was about God. And Paul understood this. He said, you can't do this on your own. It is only by the Spirit that you can do this. One of the other quotes that helped me in this preparation, the message was, we like to believe there's a hero gene in all of us. Isn't that why we like to read some of those stories? They remind us of that. We all have favorites, and that's all fine. I'd be happy to chat with you about those. I'm not going to say it now. But I like some things. Somebody likes others. Why is that important? Because it's important to connect with others. And that get equipped part is simply this. He's giving each one of us a special gift. Did you know that? You remember hearing that. You are wonderfully made. You are wonderfully gifted. Do we say that enough? Probably not enough. I love the orange material we use with the kids. I get to see it once in a while, and it's very simple. But we tell kids over and over again, you are wonderfully made. Grandparents do that. Great-grandparents do that. Fathers do that. Mothers do that. All do it. We are wonderfully gifted and made. We have to believe that God has given us that gift, don't we? We have to believe that. And why are we believing that? It is the responsibility. We go back, and it's the same chapter. Paul's writing this all down from prison. I can't be out there in the midst of all of you. I can't tell you. I can't go to all the places, but this letter's sent out to all these places. And so I've given you pastors and teachers. The text tells us in chapter 4, verse 11. I give you, it's right there in the text. You have it with you. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, and I give them to you to get equipped. Their responsibility of the pastors and teachers is to equip you, God's people, to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Until when? Until we come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. He goes on to describe it as best that we see in the New Testament, that we will be mature in faith, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We do it to fulfill the calling. Remember, I was told always to go back to the antecedent, which is the first verse. You go back to the first verse. I give it to you earlier today. Paul tells us, go back to the beginning. It is Christ. We are all called by Christ and gifted by Christ. I will go back to this text to remind you. It is to build up the body of Christ because we have a special gift. Where does it come from? From God. Actually, the text tells us the generosity of Christ. Because of Christ's generous gift, modeling faith, going to the cross, being willing to go through all the travails, wrongly accused in every way, how many different trials? That night, there were 5 different trials that were illegal according to Jewish law. Did you know that? I was reminded of that. It's amazing. He was wrongly accused, yet he gladly went to the cross for us. Lord, we're so thankful for the generosity of Christ, who was willing, just as those who came before Jesus were willing to serve you, to serve your purposes. We thank you that you blessed those that have come before us, but you've also blessed us, every single one of us. We believe that you've gifted us because that's the promise. All who trust in Jesus have access to the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, thank you for putting your Spirit and your gift that you so wonderfully gave to us. So, Lord, we know that you've called us to use that gift for your purpose in every way we can. And we ask that you would do that to remind us of that. And we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the models that we have in Scripture that remind us of that. We give you glory, honor, and praise for all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing the closing hymn together.